Good morning. It's wonderful to be with each other today. And thank you for dressing up. Thank you for the beautiful colors. You know, it's sort of a bit of a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Because it says that all tribes, all cultures, all nations, all languages, everyone's going to be there worshiping God in such a beautiful day. It's such a beautiful way. And I thought we are in the middle of the series, and it's so apt because as we're here to celebrate, we're going to celebrate in love. Because this morning we're going to be speaking about pursuing love. And a call to heart transformation. And that's what this sermon is about this morning. It's not just pursuing love, but a call to heart transformation. Amen. Church, I want you to turn to someone, the person next to you, and we can have a bit of an icebreaker here. And so look at someone next to you. They may be a dear friend. They may be your spouse. They may be someone here who's here for the first time. And I want you to think about it and share with each other for a few seconds, an act of love that you've received this week. What is an act of love that you've received this week, including the teens at the back? Don't put your hands up like this and be shy. You know, what act of love did you receive this week? It could be, here are some examples, a kind word, a smile. It could be a hug. So turn to someone. We can't start the sermon until you participated. Amen. An act of love that you've received this week. And I do pray that you can just think of one act of love in 7 days. Amen. How did that feel? I can see you guys have got a lot of acts of love that you're just trying to really share with each other and sort of lock face and talk, which is so beautiful. Amen. You may be wondering where I got this beautiful, I cannot pronounce the word and I'm not going to try. I was told it before church, but I can't get that, guys, can you try and help me? Was at the traditional wedding in April. I had envy and I was lusting after this. And I was following this gentleman around. And eventually I sat down with him in deep fellowship. And I said, it's been my heart's desire to have one like this. And he said, this one's very special. This one's a very, very special, special one. And he said, this one is very special from Ulundi. You know, this one is real. This is like, whoa. And he says, I'm going to gift this to you. So that's how I got this. So when you enter my house, it's hanging there. Do not take it. Do not borrow it without asking. The Apostle Paul spoke about pursuing love. And first Corinthians chapter 14, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And we're living in a world that is just so full of busyness. It's so full of hurry. It's so full of self-interest that love can be sort of quite elusive. Like, man, what is love? Am I receiving love? Do I give love? What is love? Who's taught me about love? How do I actually love? Has it been modeled to me? Do I see it from God? Do I see it from one another? And all of these things could be going through your mind. You know, what is love? And this word pursue is like a hunter that's pursuing his game. Has anyone hunted before? I've done a lot of hunting from young, very young. And hunting is hard, particularly when you're out there with the game. And the wind, and you're throwing up the sand, and which way is the wind blowing, and how do you leopard crawl, and you come up, and, you know, just that whole experience of pursuing your food, pursuing your game. And the first century writers understood this word pursue. It's like, it's not just going to fall in your lap. It's something that you're going to sweat for. You can hunt for a day and get nothing. You can hunt for a week and get nothing. It's not something that's tame. It's something that you are pursuing. There's a skill involved because the animal is more skilled than you. It picks up a twig that creaks. It picks up the scent. It picks up all of these things. And here the word of God is saying, pursue love. I've been on a silent retreat this last week, and it's quite a humbling thing because you lose everything that you're so attached to. You detach yourself from the world, and the first thing is this. It gets turned off and you cannot put it on. You can't even love your loved ones through this. It's off. You get a room. You get a place to sit. And I had 90 hours of just being with God. Without any spiritual books, without any material that you can read. Only the Word of God, a pen, and a journal. And you could draw. Because drawing keeps you in the present now. Every 24 hours, you met with your spiritual accompanier that accompanied you. And wanted to listen to what are the inner movements inside of your soul through the Holy Spirit. And they just listen and they guide your heart. And I still remember the first words that he said, and they really related to me. He said, when someone starts to run and it's their first time and they're running, and instead of saying, and they're running fast, they think they're going fast and they want to go faster. The thing that you need to tell yourself is slow down. Someone who's starting the sport, slow down. Slow down. Look after yourself. This is new for you. Slow down. And he said, that's what you need in your life. Slow down. You go to the fridge, it's got breakfast for you, lunch, supper, microwave, heat it up, eat your food, wash your plate, and wash your plate very slowly. Enjoy washing your plate. You wash it, and you dry it, and you take time, and you put it there. And whatever you're doing, you're slowing down. They encourage you to pray for 4 hours a day. And you might think that's a lot, it's a lot easier to go for a lot more than that. Because you're trying to connect with God. And I'll share later some of the things that I learned about my own heart. And some of the things that Scripture, and it's so beautiful going into this with Scripture. So this morning, there is no part, well, yeah, I think there's a Scripture that's going to come up here. And this is the Renovari version. This is one of the most accurate versions, the NRSV. This is a scripture that I sort of anchored myself in this week. And it said, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as our Savior of the world. Is that it? And I read the scripture over and over again. And the beautiful thing about being away is that you've got no computer to look into things. What does this mean? Or what's the Greek of this? Or let me learn more about this. You take hold of the scripture and you read the scripture. Sorry, I thought the scripture had not finished, and it's not finished. Oli, is there? Okay, so it goes up to 21. Okay, so now this is going to be tricky, because I have got the Bible here, but it's not my normal one, so just bear with me. And this is very small print. And so we need the light. The light that Jesus gives us here. So that is up to where? 15? 14. So I'm going to start here at 15. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. And there's so much here. There is so much in these few verses. So much. That I could just stand here and we could preach for weeks on this. And some of the things that stand out is that love is from God. Okay? So it might be simplistic. Love is from God. Guys, do you realize that love is from God? Not from Hollywood. Not from movies. Netflix. Not from your appearance. Not from what you have. Love is from God. And it goes on, it says, God is love. So God is love. We love because he first loved us. Those are some of the things that you can pull out of this. There's just so many more. God is the source and initiator of love. And we are called to look towards God and only towards God for love. Not towards anything else. So God is the source and initiator of love. Now, when I was a young boy, I was about 15 or 16. We were camping in the Berg with my folks and some friends. And we went on a hike up to the top of the Montesources. Has anyone walked up there? And you go up the chain ladder. And it's this massive rock with these metal things on. And you drive into Lesotho and park your car. And then you're hiking and you're hiking. And you get this rock face that is massive. And you're climbing up and you're climbing up. Now, if you fall, Peli Lindab, that's it. You're finished. It's that high. And you go to the top, and on a clear day, you can see the sea. 300 Ks, the ocean. The highest point in KwaZulu-Natal. High, high. And that is the source of the Tugela River. It's the source. And that river is narrow. It's small. It's the source. That's where it begins. That's where it starts. That's where that small stream starts. Yesterday I drove back from Johannesburg and you cross the Tugela River. And I slowed down the car and I looked at it. And it's like, wow, many meters across. It's broad. All the small streams flow into that. We used to farm near the coast where the river comes out into the sea. And it's even broader there. And I'm saying these things because that river started somewhere, had to have a source. And so when you're looking at this thing called love, oh my goodness, we are drawn into every area. What is love? It's romance, it's flowers, it's roses, it's Valentine's, it's this, it's red, it's like this. It makes my heart beat, it's like my palms get sweaty. That is love. That's not the love that God's speaking about here. It's so far from the love that God's speaking about here. It says, love is from God. God is love. We love because he first loved us. And it's this, it's so beautiful what we've read here because the cross account comes into it and that atoning love that God sent his one and only Son for us, that we can abide, we can live in that love, and God abides in us and lives in us. And that's the beauty of this love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love where you are giving everything for one another and everything for God. Because that's the love that God gave us. He gave us, guys, everything. We can abide in this love. And we basically, God has been so kind to us because he invites us to participate in the nature of God. Do you realize that from what we've just read this morning? That God is, it's not just about love, but he's inviting you to participate in the nature of God. And the nature of God is what? Love. So you are entering into the nature That's your relationship with God. You're entering into the nature of God. And that just reminds me of the scripture in 2 Peter. I'm not sure if it's up on the screen. There we go. Let me just read it from the screen here. And it says, His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Thus He has given us through these things His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust and may become participants of His divine nature. Do you understand what God's calling you to? That He's calling you and me to become participants of His divine nature. You're entering into the nature of God. And what is the nature of God? It's love. You and I get this opportunity to, wow, God, through your goodness, through your kindness, that I can enter into the nature of God and live in that nature of Him. Imagine being invited to, who would you like to spend 10 minutes with in your life? Any person on planet Earth. And you're invited to participate in their life for 10 minutes. Like, have you thought about it? Like, what sportsman? Like, what person would you like to? And you know who mine is. Rafa Nadal. Man, come on, Rafa, let's sit down. How did you do that, man? You know, the king of clay. Man, just 10 minutes with you, Rafa, would be amazing. And I'm so glad that I can follow his son now in Alcaraz. And it's like, you know, it's just so beautiful watching him. You know, but you can participate with that person, and he flies you across, and he puts you in a hotel, but you only get 10 minutes with him. Only 10 minutes. What can you do in 10 minutes? Well, you can really know the nature of that person in 10 minutes? No. God, through His grace and His incredible agape love, has invited each one of us to participate in His nature, and that we can walk and abide in His love, and that love is flowing into our lives. Now, if that's not a miracle, that's what Christianity is about. This atonement, this excitement, this, wow, God, You've given me everything that I have. And because of that, I can have boldness on the day of judgment, because He is, and so we are in this world. And we can only be, we are in this world, if we are allowing the love of God to pour into our lives. And it's not the boldness that comes from you. It's the boldness that comes from His love that is saturating your life. And it's Him living and working through us. But then, this verse, that it would be nice if it wasn't put in here. Because this is the reality of the world that we live in, the fallen world. In 1 John chapter 4, the verse that I've just read, in verse 18 it says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. And you have to sit with that for a while. And not try and be spiritual. As in, I don't fear because God loves me. This room is full of fear. You've got a lot of anxieties if you went deep into who you are. You've got fears about your life, fears about your children, real fears, legitimate fears. Try to have a child, had a miscarriage, got a fear, will it work the next time? That's real. You can't intellectually read God's word and say, because of God, therefore I don't. But you're taking, we've got these fears, fears in relationships, deep insecurities. If this person really knew me, would they love me? If I really opened up about this inside of me, I might lose the friendship. And that's a world that we live in because we're bombarded by these fears. If you're working for yourself, fears of, am I going to make it this month? Can I pay my rent? Can I buy food? That's an anxious thought. That's something that comes on inside of us. Fears of our health. I'm getting older. I'm battling. I wake up in the mornings with aches and pains, arthritis. Fears of your spouse passing away before you and how you're going to live. Real fears. And as I was sitting on this silent retreat, I had time to reflect and look at all my fears. I had time to chew on the scripture and just not let it pass and intellectually read it. Fears of entrusting myself to the next person. Will you get hurt again? Fears of deep things inside. Yes, I know what the right answer is. But have I dealt with the fear inside? Fears of the future. And I could journal these things down. And the beautiful thing is when you're vulnerable with God, you can then take those fears to God. And if God is love comes from God, and God is love, and He first loved, it's not, you can't read the scripture, I want this perfect love. And when you look at perfection, you're looking at a score mark, you're looking at 100%. That's not what this is about. It's not something that you can earn. It's something that comes from God. It's an overflowing, it's a maturity, it's a change as you're spending time with your Maker. And He's making His love perfect inside of you. I could take off the layers of things that were on my heart. I could slow down. I could listen, I could notice. And when I started putting things before God, it was this amazing experience because my heart started to overflow with gratitude. And on the third morning, I woke up well before the sun. And I sat on the rooftop and watched the sunrise over Johannesburg. And my heart was just so grateful for what Jesus has done in my life. That I started singing a song. And I can't sing. I'm not gifted. But I sang for over an hour. And I sang about my whole life from being born, every stage of my life, from being saved, everything in my life. And I was just singing through it with God and walking and singing, pacing up and down. And it was this incredible experience of just letting go, of entrusting everything to God. As you read a scripture like this, you are inclined, well, I'm inclined, to not participate in the love of God, but inclined to move towards the last few verses. If you love God, you need to love one another. And that's my inclination as I'm reading the scripture. And what came to me is this. So I'm inclined in one of two ways. And it's very scriptural. That you have to almost prove your love by the way that you love one another. And you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's scripture. And I'm inclined to gloss over the abiding part because the word abide comes up twice. And what came to me is, am I allowing myself to be loved by God? Am I allowing myself to be loved by God? Because if God is love, and I'm a child of love, am I receiving that love from God? Or have I got all these barriers in my life that is stopping myself from receiving God's love and receiving His love totally? I know what it's like to have children, and I'd like to think that I would lose my life for my children. I really would like to think that I would stand in the way of a knife. That I would stand in the way of something. And when I look at my love for my children, I don't get down on my children if they don't do everything that I would like them to do. My love is a complete love. My love is not a love in the now. You may get upset, you may get angry, you may, like, I don't agree with this, but your love is a love that bypasses all of that and loves deeply as you love your own children. And I was left with this thought of, I'm a child of God. Wow, God loves me so much. Do you not notice why John even wrote this? He wrote this because of these reasons. The first letter of John was written to encourage believers to embrace the light of God's truth and love in a time of church conflict. Divisions within a church can create much confusion about what is central and not negotiable to the Christian faith. And that is God's love. It's not negotiable. It's built on everything. If there's any vision that the church should have, it should be scriptures like this. This is it. This is the vision that God's given us. But am I allowing God to love me in my brokenness? In my lack of perfection in me? Because if I'm allowing God to love me like that, I can open up my eyes and say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my strength, with all everything in me. And from that is going to flow a heart of love for my brothers and sisters, for our tribe, for who we are. But it can only come from God opening that up within us and getting to a point of, God, I just hand this over to you. And that's what I wanted to sort of share with you this morning. And my encouragement is to go and sit with Scripture. I think we don't get the meat of Scripture because we jump from Scripture to Scripture. And we don't sit with Scripture. And we don't meditate on Scripture. And we don't hold on to Scripture. Sit with it. Hold on to it. And next week we're going to be looking at part two of love and how we need to train ourselves in love and not try to love. But training ourselves in love and not trying. And what does it mean to train yourself in love? That you're pursuing it, that you're training yourself in love. And how does God pour into our hearts through that? You're going to walk away from today and you're going to have experienced something. And I don't know what your experience of church is this morning. I don't know what your experience of us looking at the scripture this morning. You don't learn from experience, but you learn from reflecting on our experiences. To say, man, I just experienced that, that was good, is quite shallow. But when you're reflecting on your experience, this is what the Word of God did in me, good or bad. This is what was happening inside of me. And you are reflecting on it and you're going deeper with God and obedience with the scripture. That's when transformation takes place within us. And you reflect on it. And we can have these like experiences. Life is full of experience. You can experience food afterwards. You can experience it. It's great to eat. Appreciate what this small group bought this morning. Appreciate what this group bought. Appreciate this. Appreciate this. Appreciate Jason who cooked the meat. Appreciate this. You can experience something. And then you need to go back and you have to reflect on that experience. Because that's how you learn and that's how you grow. And the more you're holding to God's word and holding on to it and allowing it to work inside of you, so you're going to mature and so you're going to grow. And that's what I wanted to sort of leave you with this morning. I have got a challenge. Would you like a challenge? Now, this challenge may cause conflict. Do you still want the challenge? Okay, so you don't want the challenge. I don't need to give you the challenge. Who would like the challenge this morning? I will only give you the challenge if more than 50% of the room wants the challenge. So I'm giving you the last chance. Do you want the challenge? Okay, so now guys, those that didn't, I'm sorry, but most of the church wanted the challenge. I want you to experience something, and you can either go with this challenge or not. It's your choice. These things are wonderful, but also distract us so much. I watch every sporting interview. I know everything when it comes to certain sports. Ask me. Why? Because I'm spending my time listening to YouTubes. And imagine if you're building a culture in your family. Friday after work, the household leader of the family, which should be the man, amen, should be, opens a box and says, cell phones in, off, okay? Monday morning, the box gets opened, and you get, okay, and you get your cell phone back. And you're going to start to order your life around other things. And if you've got teens, you can have conflict. I can already see them just glaring at me. I don't like this church. My experience of this church is very controlling. I can feel that already coming towards me. Okay. Friday night, let's make pizzas together as a family. And you are spending time together. Saturday morning, the husband looks after the children, and you send your wife away for 2 hours to spend time with God. Not to a beauty salon, but a beauty salon called God's Salon, where they can spend time with God and you look after the children. You come together for lunch on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, the wife looks after the children, and the husband goes away for 2 hours. Just remember, there is no cell phone. All you're taking on your retreat with God is the Word of God, something to write on, and that's it. And you're spending time with God. Saturday night, you maybe invite someone to your home. Okay? Entertain. Practice hospitality. Invite folk in. Play games. And remember, I didn't mention, it's no cell phone, it's no TV, it's no laptop, it's no, like what Lowe's got there, what do you call those things?
Tablets.
Nothing of that nature. Sunday morning, you actually prepare yourself for church before you come to church. You prepare your inner being. You come to church with great joy, ready to give. Sunday after church, remember, now there's still no cell phone. No F1, no Formula One, no soccer, no Chelsea, no red cards from the goalie, nothing like that, Lossa. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, all those things that we get so, like, ooh, this is exciting stuff. None of that. Sunday night, none of that. No movie to quieten down before the week starts. Maybe inviting someone else into your home. Imagine that. And that's the way we used to live in the 70s. 80s. That's the way we lived. Now we're so respectful. Can I come to your house for tea? In the 80s it was, knock, knock, I'm coming to your house for tea. Okay, sure. Please come on in. Think about it. And imagine practicing that and quietening your life down. And imagine what God would do in your life when you've got that space. Amen. That's what I wanted to leave you with this morning. And I pray that you experience something and go and reflect on your experience so that you can learn from it. Amen. I'm going to ask the Gwalas to please come up and to lead our thoughts in the Lord's Supper. Thank you.
Come on, Gwalas. No, good morning, church. Duncan, you have just disturbed us with the challenge. I'm not sure whether we are ready. And what disturbed me the most is that my wife was part of that 50% that raised her hand. I did it. So we are now moving to the time that we'll be having a communion. We thought that before we do, we just wanted to reflect on God's love as the message has been shared with us. So I brought my warriors that will help me with that. So I just want to go to a scripture that is on Titus 3. I'm reading from verse 4 to 7. It says, "But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, gave us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us the confidence that we'll inherit eternal life." Neighbor, let me read this one again. It says, "Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we'll inherit eternal life." So as we reflect on God's love, so there are many dimensions that you can look at God's love. And we thought we just identified three. One of the very critical one is the power of transformation. God's love that enables us to transform. So all of us have stories where we came from, the things that we have gone through, and where we are now. And if you look back, there are things that we had to give up to be the person that you are today. And we know that is not a once-off. The transformation process is a long process. The reason we come here every day, the reason we read the Bible every day, is because of that process. We have to go through the process over time to be the people that God is looking after. I read something that was very interesting. It says, when you talk about the transformation, the price that you pay for change is what you had to forego. If there's nothing that we had to give up, it means you haven't transformed. That's one way of looking at God's love, that he's giving us that power to change. The second one is unconditional love. That the love that he has given us, that Duncan has been talking about, is not something that we earn because of our deeds, but it's because of his grace. It's just given to us, and there's nothing that we say we have done better than anyone else to earn it. It's just by his grace. And for us, really, to appreciate it, we need to be able to transform and be the people that God is expecting us. The last one is the most important one as we look at the communion. The communion is a practice, really. We do this every Sunday. The danger about it, doing it each Sunday, there's a good reason for doing it, because we get to be reminded about God's love every Sunday and every day. But the danger about doing something so often is that it becomes a habit. Unfortunately, when it's a habit, you then tend to forget the essence and the importance of it. So it's important that we always reflect on it and not take it for granted. So I thought it's important that when we look at God's love, we look at all dimensions. There are many more, but we thought that we'll talk about those three. So I just invited my daughter to just share briefly on her experience of God's love. I'll leave it at that.
Morning, everyone. So I wanted to highlight the part that my dad was talking about God's transformative love. And having grown up a kingdom kid, I generally used to believe that I was a fairly good person, you know. But it wasn't until I received the gift of the Holy Spirit that I realized I hadn't scratched the surface of what God's transformative love looks like for me. And that was primarily what this year looked like for me. So the verse that emphasized that for me was Psalms 139, verse 16, specifically the part where it reads, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before any of them came to be. And it helped me realize that God has a plan written out for my life. And in that, my obedience to him and walking closer to him and walking close step with his plan for my life is the best thing that I could do for myself and in being close to his love. And that if the plan of the one who is inherently good, if he has a plan for my life, then it has to be good, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. And yeah, so that's where my habits, my thoughts, my actions began to change, because I learned that I'm being called higher because of God's love. Amen.
Amen. Church, let's pray for the communion. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we come before you this morning. Father, we thank you so much for being reminded of who you are. God, you are love. And God, when we claim to proclaim you, we should reflect love. We should love one another. We should love you with all our hearts. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you for your unmerited favor, for sending Jesus to die for us on the cross, Father God, so that we may be reconciled with you, so that we may stand here today, Father God, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. Lord, we thank you so much for your love, for who you are, God, your mercy, your grace in our lives, Father God. I know sometimes, as Duncan was saying, we don't take time to acknowledge your love that you lavished on us. Father, I pray that we never take the cross for granted, that we will go to the foot of the cross, Father God, for our strength, for our comfort, and for our plans, Father God, that your will, Father God, will be done in our lives, Father God. I pray, Father, that we never see communion as a habit, that we see communion as a transformative culture of us, Father God, as a church, Father God, that we remember that was done in the cross, Father God, we didn't earn it. It was just your grace and your mercy, and it was just you showing us who you are, Father God, a loving and a compassionate Father. I pray for all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.